You are listening to the WBAA Purdue Sports Podcast. I'm Sam Clement, along with student reporter Rob McMahon, and we are back from the Thanksgiving break, and a lot to cover this week for Purdue athletics. We'll start first in volleyball, where the Boilermakers are headed back to the NCAA tournament. They'll be hosting games starting Friday against Morehead State, and Rob, it was a pretty good end to the regular season for the Purdue volleyball team.
Definitely to win their last two matches on the road. A big win against an Indiana team that's always out to beat Purdue. And then to head out to Wisconsin, who's really kind of been gathering some momentum lately and sweeping them 3-0.
The volleyball team earns a fifth overall seed, one of the better seeds. They finished second in the Big Ten. And they will host Morehead State. It's a 7:30 game. And Purdue, a very good regular season, will definitely be the favorite heading into that game. But then they'll take on the winner of Ball State and Louisville. That game will be played at 5 o'clock on Friday. And Rob, this Purdue team has seen both Ball State and Louisville, and they were challenged a little bit in both of those games.
It was early in the season. We still had Carly Kramer at the time, and they were expected to be large favorites over these two teams. Ball State was a 3-1 win at home in West Lafayette. Then they went out to Champaign for the Big Ten Big East Challenge, where Louisville pushed them to five sets, where we won 3-2.
Purdue finishes the regular season with a mark of 27-4 overall, 16-4 in Big Ten play. They finished second in the Big Ten with their sweep over Wisconsin on Friday. That is their best finish since 1987. So the volleyball team definitely headed in the right direction under head coach Dave Shondell. One of the big reasons is Ariel Turner. She picks up some more hardware for her play. She is the Big Ten Player of the Week. It's the fifth time she's done that this season. Rob, just talk about the play of Ariel Turner, the outside hitter.
She's really deserved all the accolades that she's attained this year. She leads the team in hitting and kills. She leads the Big Ten in kills. She's just one of the big reasons why the Purdue team does so well. She's a very cerebral player. You don't see very much emotion out of her, whereas when Tiffany Fisher or some of the other girls up front get a big kill, you'll see them get really excited. For Ariel Turner, it's another play. It's another kill, one more tally, move on to the next one. She's very just cerebral in the sense that she's ready to go on to that very next play. She wants to get that next kill. She's looking for that next win.
In the regular season finale in the sweep against Wisconsin, she had 18 kills and 11 digs. It was the 15th double-double of the season for Ariel Turner. So she and the Boilermakers looking to advance deep into the NCAA tournament. They start play as the number 5 overall seed. They will play Morehead State 7:30 Friday in West Lafayette. The winner will take on the winner of Louisville Ball State, and that match will tip off at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Not only a big week for the Purdue volleyball team, but the old Oaken Bucket is back in West Lafayette. Danny Hope and the boys go down to Bloomington and come away with a 33-25 win on the gridiron. And Rob, as a Purdue student, it's got to be nice to have the old Oaken Bucket back in your hands.
It feels nice to bring the old Oaken Bucket back. Last year, Indiana came into West Lafayette, came into Ross-Ade Stadium, and took the Oaken Bucket in overtime. This year, Purdue's able to go down to Bloomington and regain the trophy. They were able to bring it home, and it feels good because it also makes them bowl eligible on the season.
Purdue got off to a bit of a slow start as Indiana at one point had a 17-10 lead in the second quarter, but the Boilermakers chipped away. Ralph Bolden had an 8-yard touchdown run. Carson Wiggs with a big day kicking. He had 4 field goals and was 3-for-3 on extra points. He earns himself the Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week, so a nice way to end his regular season as a senior. And as you said, the Boilermakers now 6-6 overall. It makes them bowl eligible. There's not a guarantee that they go to a bowl because 10 Big Ten teams have qualified. It doesn't necessarily guarantee the Boilermakers a spot. But Rob, just give us some idea of where Purdue could be headed if they reach postseason play.
Purdue is kind of in the best possible position they could have put themselves in with the win over Indiana. Being bowl eligible, they have a better overall record than, or excuse me, they have the same overall record as Illinois, Northwestern, and Ohio State. But if we look at Illinois, they started off the season 6-0 and ended up losing their last six games of the season. Ohio State's lost five of their last eight in Big Ten play. So I think that really sets up a good position for Purdue to make a pretty decent bowl, whether it's the Little Caesars Bowl in Detroit or the Ticket City Bowl in Dallas, and maybe even the Meineke Car Care Bowl in Houston, Texas.
And just to talk about your point a little bit, with Illinois, they just fired their head coach, Ron Zook, so whether or not they even accept an invitation to play in a bowl, that's up in the air. We still don't know what the sanctions will be with Ohio State, so they may not even be going to a bowl this year because of what the NCAA does. And, of course, you've got the situation going on in Penn State, whether or not they decide to accept a bowl bid. I know the university has said that they do anticipate doing so, but that's still in the air as well. So Purdue could, because of some of the setbacks of other programs, get into maybe even a better bowl than they had originally anticipated. But definitely a nice way to end the season for Purdue. They get their first road win of the season against IU. They're 6-6. Maybe one of the biggest setbacks, though, in that game, they lose Ralph Bolden. He had a knee injury. The extent of the knee injury remains unknown, but it didn't look good. And if they're not able to have him, just another setback for a guy who's really tried hard to battle back from previous injuries and had a really nice season. Rob, your thoughts?
That's exactly it. He's had previous injuries that have staggered his play. He hasn't been able to been out on the field as much as he wants to. But it's not just a problem with his running. That affects the entire offense. You look at Caleb Turbush and Robert Marv, they look to him to be able to produce that running game in order to kind of ease the pressure that opposing defenses put on the pass rush.
And again, it will be a challenge to replace him. We saw some nice things out of Akeem Hunt. He had a nice game stepping in there later in the ball game. Of course, they still have Akeem Shaver, so the cupboards aren't bare at the running back spot for Purdue, and they'll definitely have some tools to be able to bounce back if Bolden is not able to play. Again, 6-6, they come off the 33-25 win against rival IU, the old Oaken Bucket, back into the hands of the Boilermakers, who are now bowl eligible for the first time since 2007 and the first time under Danny Hope. And their future for hopefully postseason play will be announced December 4th, so Boilermaker Nation will wait until then. We'll talk about that next week when the bowl decisions come out later in the week. The Purdue women's basketball team, they are off to a pretty good start for this season. They go to Cancun last week and go 2-for-2 and remain unbeaten on the season. They beat Tulane 61-48, and then the following night took on Kansas State in a close one, 46-42. And Rob, it hasn't always been pretty, but the Boilermakers have had as good of a start as you can have for the season. They're undefeated.
That's exactly right. It certainly hasn't been pretty, but it just shows what this team can do in adversity. When the pressure gets on, they can still answer it. The game against Kansas State, it ends 40-40 at the end of regulation, and they have to go into overtime. Sam Ostrello gets the only basket in overtime, and we have to win it on free throws, essentially. But it still shows the character of this team, that they're able to go out there against a Kansas State team who has a point guard who can easily shoot a 25-foot three-point ball with pretty good accuracy, and defensively stand up, shut them down, and make a good ball game out of it.
Boilermakers ranked 15th in the country. As you said, it came down to free throws. Brittany Rayburn, who had a game-high 16 in the win over Kansas State, she hit two free throws with about a minute to play, and then KK Hauser hit two more with 48 seconds. So the Boilermakers doing what you have to do down the stretch. And as you said, it's not always pretty, but a win is a win. They don't ask how, they ask how many. So they get the win to improve to 7-0, and now comes the slate of games that we've been talking about for a while here. They've got the three ranked opponents on the road at Duke. That game will be played Thursday in Durham, North Carolina at 7 o'clock. And then they take on the defending national champions, Texas A&M, at home noon on Sunday. And then it'll be Notre Dame at home in West Lafayette on December 10th. Rob, what does Purdue have to do to get through this slate of games, you know, hopefully with three wins and still stay afloat as they go against three of the best teams in the country?
This is definitely going to be the toughest road challenge that they're going to have all season, probably heading out to face number 7 Duke, who has a really good offense and defense. What the things that's going to have to step up is going to be the defense of K.K. Hauser and Courtney Moses. They're going to need to produce a lot of steals for this boiler defense and produce that quick strike offense, which doesn't really show itself very much in Sharon Versip's style of play. She likes to really run down the play clock as deep as she can go, and that's their style of play. It occasionally helps when you can have that quick strike just to create a different type of tempo. It makes it easier for you to control the pace of the game when you don't have to always drive the play clock down to 3 seconds before you take a shot. If you can get that quick 3 second shot 3 seconds into the shot clock, then it helps you kind of stagger your offense. It helps keep the opposing defenses kind of off balance, and I think that'll be the best way for them to be able to go out there and beat a number 7 Duke, beat the defending national champion number 4 Texas A&M at home, and number 3 Notre Dame at home.
Sharon Versip will have some good tape on two of her three next opponents, Duke and Notre Dame. Just played each other earlier in the week. Notre Dame coming away with a 56-54 win there. Skylar Diggins with 19 points. So Duke has been challenged here. They're 4-1, and they're going to be looking to bounce back against Purdue. You got to imagine there's a little bit of anger coming off that loss to Notre Dame. They'll see back-to-back opponents from the state of Indiana. So Purdue and Duke will tip off Thursday night in Durham, North Carolina. It's a 7 o'clock tip-off. Sharon Versip and the Boilermakers looking to go to 8-0 in the early part of the 2011-2012 season. Not a bad week for Matt Painter's men's basketball club. They go 2-0 on the week after falling to Alabama in San Juan, Puerto Rico earlier in that championship game. The Boilermakers beat Western Michigan 80-37 on Wednesday, and then take on Coppin State Saturday afternoon, a 78-57 win there. Not the greatest quality opponents, but the Boilermakers did exactly what you had to do. They won in advance and are now, again, off to a pretty good start, and were able to rebound from the loss against Alabama.
That's the big thing. You take a loss against a tough Alabama team, and the first thing that you really need to do is bounce back. Get that big win that they got against Western Michigan, which was still considered part of the 5-hour energy Puerto Rico tip-off. It was an extra game allowed due to NCAA regulations that you're allowed to have 4 tournament games in a season. Western Michigan had played Alabama early in that tournament and lost. But it was good that we were able to get out there, kind of show ourselves off with the big win the way they did. And then to come back again with maybe not as big of a win, not as pretty of a win, but still a good win against a tougher Coppin State. The big test is going to be coming up at home against Miami in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, though.
Robbie Hummel scores 24 in Purdue's win against Coppin State. Probably the biggest headline of the week, though, came in that game Wednesday night against Western Michigan. The little fella, Lewis Jackson, rised up and he dunked the 5'9 generously guard, throwing it home. So Purdue with a little bit of excitement here in the early part of the season. They will play Tuesday night at 9 o'clock as part of that Big Ten ACC Challenge. They take on an unranked Miami opponent, just the third meeting between the two teams in school history. And Rob, this will be a pretty good test as well. Miami traditionally a pretty solid program, a tough program, and Purdue will get a challenge at home here Tuesday night.
Both teams feel that they're not really getting the respect they deserve to start off this season. Both teams feel they have something to prove. Miami wants to take a good Purdue team on the road to be able to garner that national recognition, and Purdue's going to need to step up and play a tough Miami team at home to possibly start gathering those NCAA votes to make themselves ranked again.
It certainly won't be easy for the Hurricanes. The Boilermakers have won 21 straight home games inside Mackey Arena. That is the second longest in the facility's history. And Purdue, they have had, though, some up and downs in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, just 4-6 overall. However, they have won the last 2 years, so they'll be looking to keep that streak going. And as part of the celebration tomorrow, the Boilermakers will be honoring one of the all-time greats, Juwan Johnson. He'll be on hand for the formal dedication of his banner. It'll be lifted to the rafters. Of course, Juwan with a great year last year. He was the Big Ten Player of the Year and the Defensive Player of the Year and was a consensus All-American. So it'll be nice to see the now Boston Celtic back at home in Mackey Arena.
Definitely. He's part of the winningest class in school history. It'll be great to have him come back and just see the student section applaud him. It'll be a great atmosphere in Mackey Arena, and especially now that hopefully the NBA finally has their new labor negotiations set up. He'll be getting ready to start the NBA season pretty soon, so it'll be interesting to watch him hopefully get some playing time out there in Boston.
Again, that tip-off between Purdue and Miami is Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, inside Mackey Arena. The Boilermakers looking for their third straight win, and what would be, if they are able to come out victorious, their 22nd straight win inside Mackey Arena. Another busy week of Purdue sports, and we'll have a recap next Monday. As always, for Rob McMahon, I'm Sam Clement. You've been listening to the WBAA Purdue Sports Podcast.